Grab your Bibles. We'll be in 2 Corinthians this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Sometimes I forget, but we do have, if you need a Bible, we have a stack of Bibles back there. You're welcome to take one of those. You're welcome to keep those, right? Those, you can take them home. If you do not have a Bible and you need one, you're welcome to take one of those. The only issue is that print is really tiny. So I think the next time, so take them, that way I can order new Bibles. And I'll get bigger print next time. But. Second Corinthians. I also want to mention that our small groups will be starting up. Probably get the sign up. If you're not in a small group and want to be in a small group, we'll get the sign ups out next week. And we'll kind of touch base with all the small group leaders, make sure everybody's still on board. But that will be starting up here pretty soon. Also, people keep asking me, is it good to be back? Yes, it is. I love preaching. It's one of the things that I really enjoy doing. But I do want to thank all the leaders and my dad for filling in the pulpit. I think all of them did an amazing job, honestly. I appreciate it very, very much. I think our church appreciates it. Hopefully, my hope was that a church that we would grow closer, and my hope was that you'd feel more connected with your church leaders and get to know them a little bit better. And I think we did that. And it was nice to have a little bit of time without the pressure of church leadership and all the issues and problems that are going on in the church. And just I could ignore it and not have to worry about, you know. Again, I love preaching, but it is a stress, and it's but God is good. I'm glad to be back. I'm thankful for a little bit of time off, but I am glad to be back here. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll read the first two verses just by way of review. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider this greeting, as we consider what Paul says here, it's not much different than most of his other greetings that he writes in his letters. We do have this reminder here that in the ancient world they started their letters off properly, right? And they tell you exactly who's writing it. I always like to know first off, right? We wait till the end, and then, yeah. So they start off, they would start off with who. So we understand this is Paul, and he reminds them that he's an apostle. That is the title that had been conferred to him. That was a position that he had. And it was not conferred by church leaders. It was not conferred to him of his own will or his own desire, but he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And we're reminded that the apostle in that position only existed within that first generation of believers. That was it, right? There are no apostles today. There haven't been any apostles since then. But certainly the term apostle, not thought of an apostle, is one who has been sent out, a special messenger, if you will. And so he's a special messenger of Jesus Christ, has a special position, special authority, special ministry as an apostle, as the church is getting established. That is who Paul is. That's what's been given to him. And then he says, with Timothy. If you remember in the 1 Corinthians, it was, I can't remember, Sosthenes, I think, was the person that was with Paul as he was writing that letter. But here Timothy is with Paul, and we're reminded that Timothy certainly was a part of planting the church at Corinth. He knew all these believers. Timothy had been sent to Corinth to deliver that what we have as 1 Corinthians, to deliver that letter. He delivered that to the church at Corinth. And so now he's with Paul, and Paul's writing this letter. Timothy is there as part of this as they're writing this letter together to the church at Corinth. And just that thought of, he calls it the church of God, which is at Corinth. So this is to all the believers, right? Everyone who is part of the church that is at Corinth. And we're reminded here that thought of a church is those who have been called out to assemble. You cannot be a part of the church if you don't assemble. It doesn't work, that's part of the definition of a church. It means that we assemble. We've been called to assemble together as the church. And also a reminder that as we think of the church at this time, there were no church buildings. There were no denominations. They met at home. In fact, the whole church didn't often meet together on Sundays. They met in different homes, but it was still considered the whole church. And so certainly there would be some that met here and some that met there and some that met in different places, but they were all together as far as they consider, as Paul considers, and he writes this letter to them, the church at Corinth and with all the saints. Right? Those believers that have attained the special spirituality. No, I'm teasing. No, right? We are all called saints. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've been redeemed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a saint. Now, I know others have used that term to try to create idols, really, of people. And so sometimes we have a skewed thought of what that means to be a saint. But we all, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have this title of being a saint, which means that God has called you to himself and God has called you out of the world to belong to him for his special purpose, to glorify him. You are holy. We think of God. God is holy. Because he is separate from the creation. He is separate. He is holy. There is none like him. And he has called us to be a special people, a holy people, for his glory, for his use. We are his saints. And then again, as Paul normally uses these terms, grace and peace, just a reminder that we have found favor of God and he has given us peace and security in him. Now, as we approach the passage that we're going to look at, we find this word comfort. Comfort. The Greek word is paraklesis. And it's translated here comfort in all the major translations. So it doesn't matter what you're using. I use the New King James, but you could be using the King James, NIV, NASB, any of those, ESV. It doesn't matter. All the major translations translate this word here, comfort. Now the word means, and I'm not saying they translated it wrong, they didn't, but the word in its meaning, it means to beseech. It means to implore. It means to exhort. It means to encourage. And in that sense, there is then comfort. It also has this idea of calling to one's aid, summoning, a summons. Well, we see that thought used later on, as Paul uses that word again in chapter 8, verse 4. We see the translators then take the exact same word, translate comfort here, is then translated implore. And so just kind of understand, there's a huge depth to this word as we think of comfort. There's a depth here that God is a God of all comfort, and he certainly is the one who exhorts. He's the one who encourages us. He is the one who summons us to himself. He is the one that we can take refuge in. He is the God of all comfort. He implores us. He beseeches us. He calls us to himself through his word and through his spirit and through our fellowship with other believers so that our faith would be strengthened, so that we would not give up hope, so that we persevere, so that we continue on. That brings us to our first point here, our provision of comfort. Our provision of comfort, verse 3. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. So we have this thought of comfort. And the source of comfort, the provision of comfort, as Paul lays out here, is God. That is the source of comfort. It is God, and truly we will not find it anywhere else. And he is the one who has shown us mercy. He has provided us with salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us out of this world. He has cleansed us of our sin. We are no longer condemned. We stand before Him righteous, not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And His Son suffered on our behalf. He suffered for us. And so we have this great comfort. We have this assurance that He loves us, and He certainly has saved us. And so we have this comfort that we find in the source is God. Now, another source here is others. As Paul says, as others, that my hope is that you find comfort in, as I'm comforted, my prayer is that you're comforted. And so certainly as we think of others that are going through trials, suffering different things, and as they find comfort and their source of comfort is in God, is that not comforting to us? Do you not find comfort in that? Are you not encouraged in that? And so Paul says, look, as I've gone through these things, as others have gone through, I pray that you would be comforted, that you would find comfort. Certainly the original comfort that we have is in God, but as we see others finding comfort, as we see others going through different things, that, man, there's comfort there. There's encouragement there. There's hope there. The other source here, and this is kind of the other side of the coin. Right? One side of the coin is comfort, and the other side of the coin is suffering. Because you can't have comfort without suffering. You can't. It doesn't work. As Paul says here, there's a comfort in all tribulations. Not in some. Right? Not in, well, only these kind of tribulations. No, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever suffering we're going through, whatever kind of tribulations that we face in this life, He is the God of all comfort and comforting in that. And so suffering and comfort go hand in hand. They do. We can't get away with that. I would love to, but that's right. It's what Paul says here, right? There's comfort. Yes, you're going through tribulations. Yes, you're facing these things, but there is great comfort. God has provided that for us. And certainly we'll never truly understand the depth of God's comfort until we've gone through the deep waters of suffering. And it's all kind. It doesn't matter. There's all different kinds of suffering that we go through. There's the suffering that we go through just because we live in a sin-cursed world. And as the human race, as humans, there are just life experiences that we're going to go through that they're suffering. It's just the way life is. But there's also suffering that we go through because we are followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's dealing with here, because the church was facing great persecution. They hadn't faced it up to this point. And now they're facing it. And so Paul wants to offer to them, look, I understand what you're going through, and I want you to find comfort and solace in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the reason that you're going through suffering. And so I want you to understand the suffering. Hey, it draws you closer to your Lord and Savior. And there is great comfort there in the midst of that suffering. The greater the suffering, the greater the comfort, for sure. To endure, there's encouragement there. There's not always rescue out of. Sometimes. Right? Sometimes God does that. But sometimes it's just comfort in the midst of what we face and the trials that we are going through. But here's the assurance that we have. And whatever you're going through this morning, I want you to understand there is nothing that you can experience in this life that is greater than God's comfort. I don't care what it is. I don't care what someone's done to you. I don't care what abuse you've gone through. I know those are terrible things, and I'm not trying to make light of that, but I want you to understand that in God, there is great comfort. There is healing for whatever you've gone through. There is. And so Paul gives us this great assurance, and we need it. God is the God of all comfort, and He is the one that provides us with comfort. And if we're going to run anywhere else, we're going to be disappointed. It's not going to last. It's not going to work. That brings us into this thought of His purpose. His purpose for our suffering. I kind of touched on that a little bit, but His purpose for our suffering. Back to verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. For our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so you also will be partakers of the consolation. So we see here the purpose of the things that the church at Corinth, they were beginning to experience, and the suffering that they were going through. And so Paul doesn't make light of it. It's like, you'll be fine. No, he says, look, I understand there's comfort here, but I also understand there's a purpose. God, it's just not pointless, but God has a purpose in the midst of this. And he wants you to know, he wants you to experience his comfort. He wants you to have that consolation. He wants you to experience that. He wants your faith to be deepened. He wants it to be strengthened. He wants to draw you to himself. He wants you to be connected to the suffering of your Savior. So as the church at Corinth was beginning to experience persecution and suffering because of their faith in Christ, Paul encourages them and says, look, this connects you to your Savior who suffered for you. He gave his life. He willingly experienced suffering, that he was separated from God. Your sin separated him from the Father, and he experienced great suffering on your behalf. The judgment that you justly deserve, he experienced that for you. And so it is a badge of honor to experience a little bit of suffering on his behalf. So he says, be encouraged. Take comfort and be connected certainly within that. Again, as we think of suffering is not optional. Right? It's not like as you sign up to be a believer, you can check mark and say, you know what, these are the kind of things, these are my expectations, this is what I want. And the scriptures tell us that as we come to Christ, we place our faith in Christ, as we commit our life to Christ, the thing that we can expect, suffering. Tribulation, trials, that Satan is going to do absolutely everything he can do to put a wedge between you and your Savior. He is. And so just understand that's going to happen. But God then uses that for our good. He uses that for our benefit. He uses that to help cleanse us in many ways, to help reshape motives and desires, to deal with idols in our lives, to deal with things, right? Because as we're going through the midst of suffering, all of a sudden, all those things don't matter anymore. And the things we thought were important don't matter anymore. And what becomes important is our relationship with Jesus Christ. What becomes important is our relationships within the church and being there for each other and encouraging each other. And so Paul points that out. Why are you suffering? So that you could be an encouragement to others. That's not about you. So that you can encourage others. That's what's going on, church. So that others would be comforted. I have gone through suffering, as Paul says here. I've gone through suffering so that you would be, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to take hope. I want you to persevere. Don't give up. But as you are going through this, you are an example to the other churches and to other believers of what it means to stand strong in your faith in Jesus Christ. You're an encouragement to others. And so don't just make it all about you. Understand that others are encouraged. And so continue on. Be comforted in what God has for you. But in that comfort, then use that as an opportunity to comfort others. There is hope. Unshakable. Assurance that we have that can never be taken. Unmovable in our faith. And Paul says, I want that for you. And as you experience that, I want you then to share that with others. So Paul says here, I know the comfort. I know the comfort that God gives in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering. And that brings us to our third point this morning. We see Paul then give his personal testimony. Paul's personal testimony of comfort. Verse 8. He says, for we did not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sense of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. For you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand the things that I've gone through. And Paul is saying this, and he's trying to tell them here, I'm not saying this to glorify myself. I'm not saying these things to say, look how great I am. He's like, no, I am saying these things. I want you to understand the things and the sufferings I went through so that you would be comforted, so that you would be encouraged. That's my hope. That's my desire here. I want to share these things with you. He says, we came to the point of despair. That's what he says. I was in despair. I had nowhere to turn. I've come to the place that this is it. It come to a place that was more than I could handle. I was completely overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. I was brought to the place that the only thing I had was God and my relationship with Jesus Christ. That was it. Paul says, I was there. I've been there. I know what that's like. And here's what I found in the midst of it. God is faithful. God is. I don't know if you've ever been there. Right? There are times. Right? Everything's falling apart. All the plans that we've made in this life have been completely ripped away. And that's okay. Because God is all we need. And as we come to those places, as Paul says here, it is a place then that we are reassured that God is all we need and our faith in Him is strengthened and we truly understand who He is, that He is the God who raises the dead. He is the God of the living. He is the one who is the author of life. And as Paul says there, but God. It wasn't, oh, you know what? I found myself there and I read this great book about 7 steps to whatever, blah, blah, blah. No, no. I sought God. And He was there for me. And He comforted me. And He lifted me up. He brought me life. He is the one who encouraged me. He is the one who restored me and rescued me. He is the one who comforted me and encouraged me. He is faithful. He is faithful. And so Paul uses that as an example. He's sharing his testimony here. He's saying, look, I found my place there. And I understand you're beginning to find that out for yourselves. And so be encouraged. God is faithful, and God is going to use this in a wonderful way. He used it in my life to bring you the gospel. If I hadn't gone through the suffering and the things that He brought me through, I would have never come to Corinth. I would have never preached the gospel in Corinth. But He did. Right? Paul's run from town to town and town until he eventually ended up in Corinth. He spent 18 months there proclaiming the gospel, and then he got ran out of Corinth. Paul saying, look, I understand that there's these things, but God is at work and God is using them. And God is using them in your life. And God is using this stuff that's going on in your life for others, that they may be encouraged, that they may come to a place where they find Jesus. That's what's going on. So Paul uses his testimony here, hopefully, as something to comfort them and a reminder, He is faithful. And I know it to be true in my own personal life. He says, be encouraged. And last of all here, he reminds them, thank you for praying. Right? We know there was conflict between Paul and the church at Corinth. There was. But even in the midst of that, there were those who had reached out to Paul. They'd written to Paul or sent messages through others. They knew that Paul was going through different things and things were going on. And so they just reached out and said, praying for you, Paul. And so Paul acknowledges that here and he says, thank you. I was comforted by that. I was encouraged by that. And so I hope in the midst of what you're going through, you also would be encouraged. Paul does not use their suffering to gloat. He could have, right? He says, look, you guys are worldly. You guys are following idols. You guys are more in tune with what's going on in the world and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? 1 Corinthians. He says, I was trying to prepare you. I told you, I warned you these things are about to happen. I wanted you to be ready for it. He doesn't do that. He doesn't doesn't do that. He doesn't glow. He's like, I understand what you guys are going through, and I know it's hard, and so I want to take this time to offer you comfort. I want to remind you where we get our comfort, and that is from God. It's only in God. And certainly Paul uses it as an opportunity to reconcile, right? Remember, this letter is about reconciling to the church at Corinth and those bonds of fellowship and mending those back together. That's right? This is the groundwork for that. That's what this letter is about. And so he's using these persecution. They were beginning to go through persecution. And so he says, I've been there. So I want you to be comforted, and I want you to have the same comfort that I had. It's amazing how sharing in suffering, sharing in trials, it unites. It unites people. It's amazing how all of a sudden the things that we think are important and the things that we've allowed to divide us all of a sudden go, phew, when we face persecution. When we're being attacked because of our common faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul's using that as an opportunity to say, look, right, we are in this together, and to encourage them in the midst of this and this great shared comfort that they have. I don't know if you've ever been through traumatic experiences or what you've had in your life, but I have found certainly that there are certain things that I've gone through in my life that have that I've shared with other people, and that unites us in a way that, yes, we're united in our faith in Christ, but having shared in a certain event or a certain thing, that unites us. As many of you know, and I don't say this as many of you know, when we were in Tanzania, we were robbed, right? We were shot at. And it was a great trauma, trial, tribulation, if you will. And so we shared in that with another family that was with us in the midst of that. And so because of that, right, there's that other family, the Helsby family, there is a unity, there's a connection that we have with them because we shared in this experience together. And yes, I got beat to a bloody pulp. And I tell people, it's the most spiritual experience you could ever have. It is. I felt Jesus in a way I've never felt Jesus before. I experienced spiritually something I've never experienced before. And in many ways, it was like, wow. And then I didn't sleep for a year. Right? You go through trauma. You go through something traumatic. Right? It has lasting effects. I understand that. Been there. And I have found, just as Paul found, that Jesus is faithful. And he is the only comfort that we need in the midst of whatever we go through, whatever trauma we go through, whatever things that we have in our lives. He is faithful. If we draw near to him, there is great and wonderful comfort. And so this morning I ask you, I don't know where all of you are at, but maybe this morning you have come and you are overwhelmed. Maybe this morning you've come and you're just tired. Maybe you've come, you're just discouraged, you're depressed. Maybe you've come because you've lost hope and you look at all the things that are going on in the world and you're like, it's a mess and everything's falling apart and politically things are falling apart and economically things are falling apart. It's okay. Because we have a God who's in the midst of that and he is here for you. And so in the midst of that, draw close to him. Right? Use that opportunity to draw closer to him. Maybe you're facing conflict and turmoil. Maybe you're facing conflict and turmoil at home or at work or in the family or whatever. There's comfort in God. Maybe you're facing medical issues or health issues or different things, and it's just frustrating because you talk to one doctor and he says one thing. Talk to another doctor, they say something else. And it's just, hey, just trying to work through the process and finding out what is it that I need and how can I get help here? Now you're just to that point of, oh, man, tireless. There's comfort, right? There's comfort. Whatever suffering, it doesn't, right? It doesn't matter. Paul doesn't say it has to be a specific, like it's only this, right? It's all trials. It's whatever we're going through. There's great comfort in knowing God, and there's great hope in him. Our God, right? Our God is the God of all comfort. We can take great hope in that. We can take great encouragement in that. He has summoned us to himself. He has redeemed us. He has cleansed us. And so whatever it is that we're going through, He is going to use it for our benefit and for the benefit of others. We can take heart in that. We can take comfort in that. No one else has a God of comfort. I don't know. There's a lot of other religions out there. There's people that believe in a lot of other gods. None of them are the God of comfort. Right? None of them have a God that gives them hope. None of them. None of them have a God that has sacrificed himself for them because he loves them. None of them. Because they're not real, right? They believe in gods that have been made in the image of man, and so they are demanding gods. They're gods with flaws. They're gods that are fickle. They're gods that bicker. They're gods that you can never really truly know and understand. But we serve the one true God who loves us and gave himself for us. And so allow the God of comfort to comfort you. And allow the God of comfort to use you to comfort others. My devotions this week, I came across this the story of Polycarp. And maybe you know, you've heard this. It's always good a reminder, because I think it's an encouragement. An encouragement in the midst of whatever we face, whatever we're going through, to hear of others who have gone through things and have been faithful to the very end. It was in the second century that the beloved Polycarp, the Bishop of Smyrna, lived. A hot persecution broke out at that time against the church in Smyrna, bringing to death many brave Christians. But it was Polycarp who the persecutors desired most. They searched and searched for him and finally found him late one evening. He could have escaped, but refused, simply saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Hearing that the soldiers had come for him, he came out with a cheerful countenance and immediately ordered food to be brought for all of the men. They were amazed by the old man's calm composure and agreed with his request to allow him to spend an hour in prayer before departing. He was then taken to see the proconsul of the region. At first, the proconsul attempted to persuade Polycarp to denounce Christ by appealing to his age. When this proved futile, he attempted to threaten him into compliance. Polycarp answered him, 86 years I have served him, and he has never done me any harm. How could I blaspheme my king and savior?" Proconsul threatened to let him be ripped asunder by wild beasts. Polycarp calmly replied, "Let them come." The proconsul then threatened to have him burned to death, whereupon Polycarp replied, "You threaten me with a fire that burns for an hour and goes out after a short time. But you do not know the fire of the coming judgment and of the eternal punishment for the godless. Why do you wait? Bring on whatever you will." It is said that while he spoke to the proconsul, his face shone with an inward light, and he was not the least bit disconcerted with the man's threats. He was then taken out to a stake while wood was piled around him. When the executioner attempted to nail him to the stake, he simply said, "Let me be. He who gives me the strength to endure the fire will also give me the strength to remain at the stake unflinching, without the security of your nails." The story of Polycarp's calmness in the face of death spread quickly across the church. His courage proved to be a source of courage for many other believers as well. It's a reminder of those who certainly have faced persecution, as the story of many Christians. And so we can take courage, right? We can take solace in those who have faced it, who have been there, gone through that. As Paul says here, again, verse 9. "Yes, we have the sense of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you love us. We do thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Oh Lord, help us to experience that. Help us to know it to be true. Help us to hang on to you in the midst of just living in this world. There are different trials. There are different joys. There are different things that you have for us. But above all, Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged as we serve you. Oh Lord, I pray that our lives would bring you glory in life and in death. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we close our service, let's stand and sing our last song.